The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turning your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter, I debated over what to call this message, and it just hit me while I was sitting there listening to Brother Neil preach. And so it's going to kind of have two titles, but the reason I got to thinking about this subject was because of Sister Sophie's baptism. And so we'll call this, on one hand, Sophie's message, because that's where this came from. When Sister Sophie came and was baptized, and her age and her small size, and it just stirred my mind regarding the kingdom of God, regarding the church of God. And so this is how I have come to this morning. I've been thinking about it for a number of weeks and want to present it to you. You could also call this message body principles, but I wanted to give Sister Sophie the credit where it was due for getting me to think about this. Now, no matter what the age of a person is, of course, we believe in believer's baptism, where someone actually has the cognitive ability to say, I love the Lord, I believe in the Lord, I believe He's saved me from my sins, and I would like to be a part of God's church. Obviously, there's an age factor there when somebody is able and capable of doing that. I've shared this with you before. My daughter Abigail, when she was baptized at 6 years old, she had a very good understanding of what she was doing. And that's kind of my rule of thumb. Is if I want the child, the young person, to remember what they did. I don't want them to think back, well, was I baptized? I want them to think back and remember what they did. And so when Sister Sophie joined the church, when some of you, when you were small children, joined the church, you came into a body and you hold the same status as the oldest member of the church. You see, the Lord Himself said that suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus instructed them, brought a little child to them and said, one that will humble themselves as a little child. So whether you join the church at 6 or 16 or 36 or in your 70s, whatever age you join the church, it gives you an equal status, and I like the way Brother Neil put it, an equal status of privilege. It's not a right in the kingdom of God, it's a privilege. And so as we talk about that this morning, I want to talk about principles of the body of Christ. Now, there's two most common descriptions of the church in the Scripture. And it's interesting how they tie together. Today I want to speak on one of those. But the two most common descriptions of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is as a body and also as a bride. A body and a bride. And if you know anything about marriage, when the covenant is made in marriage, you can see how two become one. So you see how these are linked. Two bodies become one in the covenant of marriage whenever they give their lives to one another. And so Jesus views His church as a bride and as a body, see? And of course, you know, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, talks a lot about those two connecting, how He sees it as a body and a bride. Now, in Ephesians 1, I want you to notice in verse 22, we're going to talk about body principles today. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word church itself is the Greek word ekklesia, and it was basically a new word. It was a new way to describe something. And of course, in the Old Testament, the Lord said, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to give you something new. Baptism, immersion under the water, was a new thing. People were saying, what does this mean? And of course, you know what it means. It was the means by which Jesus was identified as the Son of God. And it's the means by which you identify yourself with Jesus as the Son of God. And it all makes you a part of the church. And that was a new word. We take it for granted. There's a church on every corner. There's, in the denominational world, you can find any flavor that you want. But when this started, it was all new. It was easy to make the distinction between this, that, or the other. And in Ephesians 1 and 22, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, inspiring the Apostle Paul, says this, and He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head, that's Jesus, over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is His body. It's also described as His bride. So let's talk about body principles. This was something new, as I said. Nobody had ever heard. This was revolutionary. It revolutionized people's thinking, children of God, their thinking in these days. Now, the Lord gives us a description here. You know, the Lord is so good to give us things that we can relate to, right? Can you relate to your body? And can you relate to a bride, you know, a marriage, a covenant marriage? That's easy to relate to, is it not? So let's consider these body principles. I was thinking about this. The older your body gets, your personal body, the more keen attention you pay to it. Is that not true, older folks? Younger folks are like, duh, you know, they don't even know what I'm talking about. But when you turn 40 and you're laying in bed, there's a huge difference between laying in bed at 20 and laying in bed at 40 and something, a pain goes whoop, you know, in your body somewhere. And when you're 40, you think, this may be it. This could be the heart attack that gets me. When you're 20, you go, oh, man, get up and get an ibuprofen, you know. But when you're 40, you start thinking, I never felt that before. Oh, my goodness. One of these days, you young guys will understand what I'm talking about. And I'm the one that said, when my brother told me, hey, man, I'm having these pains at 40. I said, whatever. I'm the guy that said that. But as your body gets older, the more keen attention you pay to it. I think of that in terms of you as a church body. You know, we've grown. God has blessed us to grow year after year. And the body gets bigger. And I don't mean it's getting obese. I don't mean that. But the body gets bigger. The body gets older. You want to pay more attention to it, right? Does that make sense? So this concept of the church being Christ's body is presented here in Ephesians 1. Turn over to Romans 12. You'll see him elaborate on that a little bit. Let's read. In Romans 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's talking about your physical body. Holy, acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he goes on and down in verse 4, he says, for as we have many members in one body, you have limbs in your body and different functions for your body parts, and all members have not the same office. The hand doesn't do what the eye does. The ear doesn't do what the nose does. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now he goes on and describes some of what that means, but he gives you the best description of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. And that's where we're going to park, and we're going to stay there for a while. He really elaborates on what it means to be a body as a church in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. And as you're turning there, we'll focus on verse 12. I want to tell you a little story. Y'all know I like to run. Try to do that several times a week. My running, actually, now I would probably categorize it more as a jog as I've gotten older. But one morning a few weeks ago, I went out to run. And I don't think, how many of you, raise your hand if you think a lot about your, you know, if you just spend time meditating about your little toe. I didn't think anybody was crazy like that. I mean, how much time do you sit around thinking, well, you know, I really like my little toe. I mean, that's a beautiful little toe. You know, I've joked with you. I'm not even going to go there. Just Tracy will get mad at me. But I've joked. I heard little Tracy's little toe curls up under her foot. I didn't even know she had a little toe. We've been married about 10 years. But anyway, now she's mad at me for saying that. But how many of you, I have sat around and thought about Tracy's little toe a lot. I thought, poor girl, she doesn't have one. But then I found it. So anyway, who sits around and thinks about their little toe? And so I go out running on this particular morning. There was something wrong with my little toe. Now, granted, my little toe is probably 10 times bigger than some of y'all's little toe. But I go running, and I'm like, oh, ow. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to quit because I'm not a quitter. So I just kept on running. And eventually I ran long enough that my little toe, I guess my little toe finally got the message that I'm not stopping. And it just kind of hurt enough to where it quit hurting, or I didn't feel it anymore. But I was thinking a lot about my little toe. And I thought to myself, I was actually meditating about some of this, and I thought, you know, that's interesting. That little tiny little toe is messing up my whole activity. Just that one little thing. That's crazy, isn't it? And I started thinking about the body of Christ, how one little sickness of one little member is so important to the body of Christ. Y'all understand that? There's a reason why Jesus uses a body to describe what belongs to him. Now, don't you ever forget this. This body he's referring to, it belongs to him. And by the way, the physical body that you're sitting in here today as a blood-bought member of the church of God and as the body of Christ in general in heaven, it belongs to Him. You don't have a right to say, well, I'll do whatever I want to with my personal body, because He paid for your personal body. That'll make you stop and think about what you do with your body, what you put in your body, and what you subject your body to. And by the same token, this body here, this body of believers, this ecclesia, this church, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. We have no right to do what we will with it. We must submit ourselves to what the head says. Jesus, the brain of the church. See? And if your little toe's hurting, it's important. Now let's read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a little toe. It doesn't matter if you're a little Sophie or if you're a little Abigail when she was six. It doesn't matter if you're an old Brother Tibbs whenever I think he's the oldest person I've ever baptized. And I'm sorry, Brother Tibbs, I didn't mean to say old Brother Tibbs. An older brother like Brother Tibbs. It doesn't matter what age you are. You're a member of the body of Christ. And if you're sitting there today and you're saying, well, you know, I hadn't joined yet, then just go ahead and pluck it up and do it. Because you're becoming a part. You say, well, I'll be a part of Brother Tim's church. Wrong, 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 wrong. You'll be a part of the baptized, confessing believers of the body of Christ Jesus, with Him as the head. See, that gets me excited. It keeps your eyes off of me. I might not be here forever. Something could happen to me today. One of those pains I feel when I'm laying there thinking tonight, it could get me anytime. But Christ, He lives forever. My life is hid in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. Be a part of the body of Christ. You don't have a little status or a big status. You have a body status. And whether you think of yourself as a little toe, a little finger, a pinky, the hair, the ear, the nose, whatever. See? He says here, we are many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one. Now let's read on down. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, bond, free, all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many, many. That's practical medical science, right? Brother Neil can confirm this. Here I am with many different members of my body. I've got fingers, I've got toes, I've got eyes, ears, all these different things. I've got different functions. I don't even have to think when I do that. It's just automatic, you see. But I'm one body, but I've got all these different functions and members to my body. Now look at verse 17. No, this verse 16. I'm sorry. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Somebody who feels themselves to be down here in a nobody, a lower rank, they say, well, I'm not like the hand who's up here doing all this activity and doing this and doing that. Can't see that. We don't have a video on the podcast, but, you know, my hands up here moving and doing this and pointing the finger and giving a thumbs up and patting somebody on the back and all. Well, I'm not the hand. I can't do what the hand is, so therefore I'm not of the body. You see, that's a negative mentality that you can get in your mind regarding the body. These are extremes that he's laying out here. You need your foot, right? The foot's got a purpose. How am I going to walk over there and turn the lights off or turn the air up or turn the air down or open the door? How can I get my hand? Am I going to walk on my hands? That'd be silly, wouldn't it? I've got feet to carry me over there. So the foot can't say, I'm not of the body because I can't do what the hand can do. Are y'all getting this? And then watch, I love this as we read on now. It says, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, all I can do is hear. Let me tell you something. I, of all people in this room, and others of you who may be losing your hearing, understand the value of the hearing ear. I'm kind of a running joke around our house because nobody knows what's going to come out of my mouth after somebody says something to me, and I butcher it because I can't hear good. I don't like that. I'm not happy about that, but I think I may have condemned myself with all of the grief that I gave my mother, you know, when she wouldn't do anything about her ears, her hearing. And now I'm that way. And we're both going, what, huh, what, huh, what? I know the value of an ear, of being able to hear. And so I value my hearing. Here the ear says, well, I can't see, so I'm not of the body. How How would your... The other day, I think it was Sister Elizabeth was asking Daddy, you know, one of these what-if questions. Daddy, oh no, would you rather? You know, would you rather die in a car crash or would you rather be pushed off a mountain? You know, those silly questions that are kind of funny sometimes to ask. And the question, I think, was something along the lines, you know, would you rather be deaf or dumb or blind? Dumb means mute. That's not an ugly word. It means mute. Would you rather be deaf or mute or blind? And I was thinking, well, I'm already deaf. So, pick which one. I would rather be none of those, right? I would rather be able to hear and to see and to speak. See, it's important. All the functions of the body are important. Now, I love verse 17 because this is kind of, it gives you one of those grotesque kind of pictures. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? If somebody walked in the back door right there and they were just a giant eye with legs and arms coming off of it, we'd go running and screaming, wouldn't we? If the whole body were, or some giant ear comes walking in with feet and arms hanging off of it, I can hear you, can't speak, it doesn't have a mouth. I'm running. I'm going to hide behind some of the shrubbery out here. That's grotesque, isn't it? You don't want a body that just is an ear, and you don't want a body that's just an eye. Now look at verse 18. But now, and don't ever forget this, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Have you ever thought about silly things like this? You know, what if your hands stuck out of your head? What if your hands were up here? You know, or what if your legs grew out of your head and you walked, your knees came out here and you were walking? You know, I mean, why are my legs down here? Why are my arms here? Why are my hands here? Everything just works perfectly when you're healthy, right? I mean, why are my eyes not back here on the back side of my back? Why did we not evolve that way? You see how silly evolution is? It can't be true. The Lord says in the Psalms, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I was wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, in the womb, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. God has set your members exactly where He wants them. It'd be weird if your head was turned around backwards and you're walking forward, but you're looking back this way. Why didn't we evolve that way? You know why? Because evolution is just a silly theory. We have our members where they are because that's where God set them. See? And the same thing in a greater way applies to the church of God. I was thinking on this, what if your feet grew out of your head and your legs, you know, stuck out of the side and you, or one side, and you had to walk with your body sideways? Y'all don't think of silly stuff like that like I do, apparently, because nobody really gets it. But maybe you've read C.S. Lewis, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And in C.S. Lewis, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a time when they're voyaging that they encounter an island where there's a magician, and they encounter this race of people known as the Duffelpuds, I believe is their name, and they're monopods. They've got one leg and all that, a huge foot and leg, and they just bounce around. And I thought, when they made that movie, I thought, how are they going to portray this? Because I've got in my mind this weird-looking, one-legged person, you know, bouncing around. And they did a pretty good job in the movie. I know you're all going to be dying to go home and watch that. But the Duffelpuds, and they were just these monopods that hopped around on one foot. And I don't really know the full meaning of what C.S. Lewis was trying to get across there, but I do know that he was saying that that looks ridiculous. And they were a ridiculous group of people if you hear them talk and the way they interacted. But why do we have 2 feet? Why don't we just have one, like the monopods, the Duffelpuds in C.S. Lewis's book? It's because God has said it like He wanted to. Verse 20, 19, He says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? If you were just a leg or a head or an eye, where's the body? And now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye, listen to this carefully now, because the eye is a very important member, is it not? Now, we can't start ranking members, because just like my little toe going out on me the day I was trying to run, it was very, very, it was the main part of my body that I was worried about that day. Wasn't worried about my eyes, my ears, or nothing else. It was just that little toe. And it says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. You see, there's no ranking system in the body. Well, this is more important than the others. And we haven't even touched on the parts of the body that you can't see. The parts that are inside. Boy, those are some important parts, right? The heart. The stomach, the different things that are inside the body. Now, the eye cannot say to the hand, you don't do enough. You don't do enough. You know, you're not me. You're not the I. So therefore, I don't have any need of you. You don't do enough. I have no need of you. That cannot be said in your own physical body, and it cannot be said in the church of God. I'm not saying anybody is saying that. But when it comes to body principles, we need to hear these kind of things so you can know how God views you. Brother Neil's already preached that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. These are God's thoughts regarding how you are, how He sees you. Don't you want to act in the way that He sees you? He says, nay, but much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. He says the more feeble members of the body are necessary. The eye says, I don't need the hand. Well, if you didn't have a hand, how could I pick this up? I'm looking at it right now, and my eye is saying I want a sip of that water, but I can't pick it up without a hand, right? So my eye can't say, I don't need you. What would I have to do? Y'all know, you know you'd laugh if I did that, but I'm not going to do it. It'd be silly if you had to go around without using your hand. I don't need my hand, so therefore, you know, I'm just going to drink out of that glass and make a fool out of myself. Lap it like a dog. The more feeble members are necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. There's a lot of different ways that we could go with this, but I want to ask you this question. Why is your heart encased in your chest cavity? Why do you have ribs covering up this trunk, this part of your body? Because you've got some very important parts in there. How would it be if God had set the body where your heart is growing out here? You see it, and it's growing out here on your shoulder. First of all, that'd be gross, wouldn't it? You know, boom, 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 boom. You got a heart growing on your shoulder. No, God set the heart to be in a protected place. Well, do y'all see that? God has set the body parts in the way that He wants it. It would be weird to have your stomach, you know, hanging out here on the side. See, okay, there's where I ate, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to be gross, but think about how gross that would be if your inside body parts. I've said I admire nurses and medical doctors because I could never do anything like surgery or things like that, or see the insides of people. Now, I grew up on the farm. I've seen the insides of cows, horses, chickens too many times. Right, Brother Wayne? Y'all seen hogs? I mean, none of that bothers me. I've seen some gross stuff growing up. It doesn't bother me a bit. I go in the chicken house and pick up 500. Sometimes we pick up 400 or 500 dead, rotten chickens. I go sit down at the table and sit down and eat fried chicken. Doesn't bother me a bit. But if you take me in the surgery room and let a human being lay there and cut them open, I'm not going to be able to eat for days. Now, go figure. I mean, that's just me. But the Lord has tempered the body. The Lord has set the body so that it's like He wants it. Your heart is encaged in this trunk here, so it will be protected. Everything where it's supposed to be. We just need to wake up and realize that, don't we? He says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble and more necessary, and those members of the body which are less honorable, we see is less honorable, we bestow more abundant honor upon them. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. There's no reason for me to worry about covering up my hand, because I use my hand all the time. It's not inappropriate. But, you know, if I was to take my shirt off and preach to you without a shirt on, everybody would be like, ugh, you know. You know, I mean, it'd be weird. We cover up. See? We don't cover up our hands. We don't cover up our face. See, we bestow honor. You see this right here? This outfit, this suit? I'm bestowing honor upon this part of my body. Because I don't want to stand up here and preach in a bathing suit. Nobody would stay. See? So, our comely parts have no need. But it's the parts that are uncomely that we bestow honor upon. Now, that's a lesson right there. It ties straight into what Brother Neil was preaching about this morning. Because there are times when our body betrays us, right? There's times when your little toe hurts and it's hard to run. There's times when somebody might have a heart attack. There's times when something inside may mess up and it doesn't act right. And you need to go see a doctor. Please go see a doctor. And, you know, you need to address that. Same thing with the body of Christ. Sometimes our own members betray us. Sometimes our own members don't act like they might. I like what Brother Neil said. They might roll you. If you hadn't been rolled in this life, trust me, you're going to be rolled at some point. And sometimes the rolling may come from your own body. And that's whenever we should reinvigorate our body. We should address the healing of our body. Verse 24 says, our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked. So what? That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That word care means, the word we know today is anxious or anxiety. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a person that is very anxious. I'm not saying I'm a hypochondriac. I'm anxious over my body. If I feel a pain, I'd like for that pain to go away. Right, do you agree with me on that? If I feel a pain, I want to address it. If I get a broken limb, I want to go get it set. See, we should be anxious about our bodies. We should say, I don't care about my body. Somebody says, well, I just wrecked my body. I don't care. The body doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. The church body doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. And we should be anxious about one another. We should have a sense of anxiety about one another when it comes to the health of our body. I had a lot of anxiety that morning I was running about my little toe. I wanted to nurse it and make it feel better and help it. And I know you say, well, that sounds silly. Well, you let your little toe hurt sometime when you're running and see if you don't want it to be helped and feel better. Now, very quickly as we close, things you do to take care of your body. I'll give you these verses. We're not going to turn there because we don't have time. But things that you do to take care of your body. First of all, you clean your body. Ephesians 5:26 speaks of that when it says that we have that the husband cleanses his wife by the washing of water of the word. He's speaking in terms of Christ cleansing his church. The way you clean your church body is you listen to the word of God. It's a cleansing agent for the child of God. Nobody wants you to come around smelling bad and not being clean, right? That's the way it is for the church body. The cleansing agent, the soap, if you will, of the church body to clean it is the Word of God. You also groom your body. Some of you may be a little longer than others. And we're not talking about monkey grooming, picking things off of you. We're not talking about getting up in everybody's business and not being able to have any breathing space. But we're talking about grooming. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that he wanted to present them as a chaste virgin to Christ. He wanted the church to be groomed in a way that Christ would be pleased and proud and happy to have her as a bride. You also want to heal the body. I tell you what, as long as Sister Lila McCool is around, the Band-Aid company will never go out of business. There's just a trail of Band-Aids all over our house every day. She gets a little nick, she gets a little bruise, put a Band-Aid on it, put a Band-Aid. She loves Band-Aids. And if you get a bruise or you get a cut, what are you going to do? You're going to bandage it up. You'll bleed into your clothes if you don't. A few months ago, we were down at St. Augustine, and my 48-year-old mind's getting real feeble, and so I decided to jump in with the rest of the guys and do some body surfing. And after the second time that I scraped my old knees on the sand, and there was some guy asked me, so what happened to you? Did you get bit by a shark? And I had blood flowing down my shin. I'm like, and I got two ugly, ugly scars right now on both of my knees from body surfing. And I'm thinking, man, that's going to be rough next week. I got to wear a suit. I better bandage that up or I'll bleed through into my suit. I'm going to bandage myself if I need healing. That's principles of body, taking care of your body, is it not? Listen, you also exercise to take care of your body. Philippians 2:11 says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That word work out literally means, it's the word gymnazo from the Greek. It means to use your spiritual abilities, exercise them. You know what one of those is? Patience. That's one of your spiritual muscles, is patience. Exercise that. Eat right. 1 Peter 2:2 says we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Hebrews 5 says that leaving the sincere milk of the word, we should sometimes eat some meat, eat some more meaty things. And you know what all that adds up to? Oh, I've got to close. It all adds up to a healthy body. Is that not what we want as the body of Christ, to have a healthy body? Ultimately, Jesus is the living bread. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the lifeblood, the charity, as you read in 1 Corinthians 13. And I want you to know this. He demolished his own body so that you could be a part of this body today. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, says that it says he poured out his soul unto death. The phrase poured out means he demolished it like a demolition derby. He intentionally demolished His body, His personal body, went into the grave and was resurrected so that you today can be a part of His glorious body, of which He is the head. I hope these body principles have been helpful to you. I hope you see how, whether it's a visible part, a real visible part, like an eye, an ear, a foot, a hand, or if it's a part like the heart, or the kidneys, or the stomach, whatever the part may be, a pinky toe, all these parts are necessary. All these parts interact. All these parts should be tended to. You can't say, "Ah, well, it's just a finger. I'll be glad to lose it." You can't say that. And I ask you today, I implore you today, because this is my goal as your pastor. My goal as your pastor is to present you as a healthy body week in and week out to Jesus Christ. And do you know what? I cannot do that alone. I cannot do that. I can preach the word. I can give you some soap. But you have to do the cleaning up. I ask you, whether it's me, my children, my wife, my friends, my whatever it may be, I ask you, tend to the body. Tend to the body. Help the body to be healthy. Not because it's my body, but because it's Jesus Christ's body. And I want you to know this, He is worthy of a healthy body. Amen? And if you today have been burdened in your heart to be a part of that body, it's a short walk down the aisle. I think Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized. You don't have to walk 60 miles. Just walk about 60 feet. Express your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and become a part of that body through baptism.